It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Spavinaw, Oklahoma. And I know why they call it Oklahoma, because there's freaking oaks everywhere. And what we did, we were at the great, the, what do they call it? Midfest. And Mike Swatek, that has been very instrumental in doing the IPFS stuff that we were working on, he went to Jackalope a few years ago. And he was inspired by, really, you can just do it? And they go, yep, and he just did it. And now here in Oklahoma, this is like the third one, I think. And what I wanted to talk with you about, we're talking to James Corbett, thecorbettreport.com. Oh, yeah, I was practicing. All right. Stop. All right, this is what we did. I used to do, all right, we're back. We, you know, the Corbett Report. There you go. See, I was trying to do it. Man, what the hell is wrong with this thing? So what I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure that we could, I used to do that when I opened the show. I'd, you know, sing it a little bit and so on. I need the red. Donna, pull up. Give me. I got three freaking mice here. That, you know, it just drives me nuts sometimes. Gallery, speaker, full screen, and speaker. Boom. There we go. And I put this down there. All right, we're good. And what I wanted to do is get back to, to that, just because when I got sick a couple of weeks ago, it messed up my throat, and I couldn't do the lock home. You know, I'm like, whoa. Man, I don't want anything taken away from me. That would suck, you know. Not that I care. Nobody wants to hear me sing. But James Corbett and I have been doing shows for years. You know, it's been a long time. And I get inspired. And a lot of times when I talk to James, it's really for my mental health. And I'm glad that we get to, you know, kind of bounce off each other. A lot of things that are happening. But I'll be a little bit serious today because there's some issues that have come up that I think are telling in a lot of ways. And one of the things I just want to get out of the way up front is that there was a archbishop of the Catholic Church, and he was well known for outing some corruption and other stuff before. And he came out and he went after Pope Francis. He didn't pull any punches. He said he is... in bed, the deep church and the deep state are turning over the Catholic Church to they, them, those. And he goes, it's a Masonic philanthropic of the money. And it's just another big giant bank robbery because that's where the money is. And for him to say this, this just came out. And I'm wondering, I know you're not a religious guy or anything, James, but I needed to, you know, this is not a small thing. You know, this is going to be have ramifications. Where do you think this is going to go, especially with all the banking and finance and influence they have? And of course, the Catholic Church was involved with God knows what. So the Catholic Church needs an exorcism. What say you?
Yeah, it's funny because I hear from all the various camps, of course, who all accuse me of being shills in different ways. I'm either a shill because I don't talk about the Jews, or I'm a shill because I don't talk about the Jesuits. or, you know, sometimes I'm a shill because I don't talk about the reptilians or the coneheads or whatever. But yeah, it's funny because, of course, yeah, it's not like I think the Catholic Church is a beyond reproach or that the, you know, the Jesuit order is some sort of clean hands in history. Of course not. And so I don't know who this person who's speaking is. Is this some sort of big wig in the Catholic Church that's going to make waves?
Known. An archbishop is not like small fry. And he's well known for exposing, you know, not holding back, exposing some corruption in the church. And that's all I know. You know,
what's his history? Like,
I don't know. It was just sent to me. We put it on the site by a friend of mine that, you know, I get a lot of stuff from readers and friends and people and family and so on. And this one, he goes, yeah, you should see this. And I went and watched a video. It's only a couple minutes or something, but he just skipped to the end. I mean, at least the cut that they did, and said, look, the church is doing it. This is a warning. You know, this is, you know, this is what's going on. For them to do that, especially after all the stuff in the last couple of years that we've seen this Pope Francis do, I'm like, somebody's got to notice this. Somebody's got to say something. Well, somebody did, and somebody higher up in. And I'm just going, what do you think the ramifications of that be? Because Donna's family's all Catholic. She was brought up Catholic. Mm-hmm. So her parents are Catholic. It's Latin Mass and Catholic. And, you know, and they go through I'm Southern Baptist, kind of, woo, and running into aisles and crap. Mm-hmm. And they're just, and also with you, and, you know, And I go to Mass where there's stuff, and I'm being, really? You know, this is, whoa, I feel recharged, you know. But the it's just a different way of doing it. When she went to her first service, where I had to go to, you know, we were shopping for churches when we had our second child. And, man, she was, that had a big impact. Man, whoa, she couldn't sprint down to the altar fast enough. I mean, it was, you know, a thing. So, but the Catholic Church is different. The Pope does all the thinking for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, look, I was raised a good Protestant boy, Church of England. I cannot wrap my head around the idea that you need some sort of person to tell you what God is saying or something. That doesn't comport with anything that I was raised in or grew up with, so I can't even imagine why people would do that. But I guess it's a good template for authoritarian control, and that, of course, was perhaps the template for the nation-state system as it developed. We need our divine leader. Political leader to come tell us and interpret the holy text of the Constitution for us and all of that. I mean, the parallels between the religious structure and the governmental structure are many. But so I've never understood that idea, but I can't wrap my head around how any Catholic today could look at these, certainly these past few popes, and not see the evil radiating from them and the fact that they are on board 100% with the globalist agenda and pumping every single aspect of it. How could you go along with that? And now that we have this new, I've just heard about in the past couple of days, a new whistleblower confirming that there was aborted fetal cell tissues used in the development of these COVID vaccines. You were lied to. They said there wasn't anything to do with it, and there's whistleblowers coming out and saying you were lied to. There is aborted fetal cell.
Yeah, and just recently we had Pelosi, you know, meeting with the Pope.
Yeah.
You know, kind of exactly. Some abortions, okay, it's all right, man. A little bit of vaccine, you kind of. I mean, this is weird. You know,
this is what happens when you forsake your own ability to be your own interpreter of the holy text, whatever that holy text is. Maybe I'm just speaking as a Protestant as opposed to a Catholic, but I can't wrap my head around that idea. But this is what you get every time. You get some tyrant in power who is not doing good on this planet. That's all I can say.
There is a big role that the media, I mean, of course we know this and so on, but man, it is getting so obvious, especially it's something that's gone viral. This is, I get your comment on this. There was, I don't even know what the hell it was. Some NASCAR guy won, and they interviewing him, and the whole crowd is going, you know, fuck Joe Biden, bum, 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 bum. Fuck Joe Biden. And the commentator is in and going, oh, yeah, they're saying, let's go Brandon. Oh, yeah, let's go Brandon. That she would even do. I don't know if she didn't think it was coming through, or they couldn't hear, or she told her little earpiece, or I don't know what the hell was going on, but. It really backfired, and now it's a meme, you know? Let's go, I mean, signs, memes everywhere. Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, just saw LibertyManiacs.com. You know them? They do the T-shirts and things. Anyway, they've got a whole product line now of Let's Go, Brandon stuff. So, yeah, it's taken off.
Well, you know, as much as they would, you know, never Trump kind of thing, Joe Biden's, you know, approval ratings are way lower than his ever were. But not that I give a crap or look at that, you know, I don't care. But the other thing is we're here at MidFest that just finished, and we found one of the guys in Dome Gaia that built aircrete domes in Hawaii. He was one of the students there and did, so we went out to Mike's and he's starting. So today, Mike Swatek and I were doing the surveying stakes and so on for the placement. He had done part of it and needed to do something else or coming out and digging trenches for foundation and everything tomorrow. And we had to clean out his garage so to get out of the rain and all the, you know, Portland cement that he has to have delivered and all this other stuff. So he's on it. He's serious, man. Here it goes. He's got his sister living in his upstairs, and he's like, nope, got to get her out as fast as possible. Man, we're building, you know. And it has been, certainly we've talked about this before, that it's always about community, community, community. And now it's like, yeah, okay, well, how are you going to build it? Well, this is happening. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff going on around the country. Thanks for the contact. I had Stefan Verstappen on, or is that how you say his name? I think it is. We had a good two and a half hour conversation. I mean, it went through. And it always goes down to the same thing. You know, what's the deal? What do I got to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? So it was. I encourage people to go listen to that because we talked about a lot of things. And he has thought about it a lot. We may not agree on everything, but it was definitely a good conversation of where we're going. The other thing is, it's happening, is there's starting to be food shortages. You know, they're starting to see, the shelves aren't as kind of. And now I hear the Biden administration, like the President of the United States, is going to fix L.A. port, you know, shipping container problem. Now just get the hell out of the way. It'll get fixed, you freaking moron. You know?
Yeah.
God. So they're going to.
Honestly, that is such a core part of the problem, is that people have been mind warped into believing that somehow this is all about federal politics. And it's all about the president. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not American even, let alone, I mean, can you remember from your childhood? Was it always all about the president and what will the president do and what's the president doing about this? Or was there more reliance on, hey, how about state or local level, or, you know, what can we do as private citizens?
You know, I don't know. Because my life has been so overwhelmingly dominated by the federal government. It was the Vietnam War. It was Watergate. Then it was, Iran hostage and OPEC and the oil, then Reagan and, inflation, stagflation, deflation of whatever the hell. Then the savings and loan debacle crap that went on into the 80s, Black Monday. Then you have, Ruby Ridge and then Waco and then, you know, Oklahoma City and 9/11. I mean, I'm saturated with all their bullshit, you know. So, no, the solutions never came from them. I guarantee you that. There's always problems from them, you know. So I'd like to get it. I just don't care is where I'm getting to. I mean, we run a news site, but I told the audience, I went into a rant. God, was it earlier in the week, I think. And we had, you know, the audit stuff that was going on in Maricopa County and guys on and they just pissed me off. So I went into a rant for over an hour thing going, look, man, this is, and exactly that kind of mindset. Who the hell are we listening to? The Pope? The President? I mean, man, grab some brain cells, lasso, you know, some neurons of your own and freaking come up with an original thought, you know? Well, food will do that. And I've seen that it is changing a great deal. The people, and this is what I've been advocating or predicting. I say that by spring, after they screw with everybody this winter and you don't get G.I. Joe the Kung Fu Grip because it's on some container ship, and your electricity bill is really high and you can't, you know, afford to buy food and inflation. And then they go, ooh, retirees, Social Security, we've given the biggest raise ever in history. They get 5% more. And I'm going, woo, man, I'll, you know, buy an extra meal. I mean, I it's so bad that I am of the opinion with our trip around the country, the opinion that I have is everybody, they're trying to get you to be violent. They're trying to get you to resist. They're trying to get you to march on, do something, of, you know, get your grand auntie, get your gun or something. And I'm going, what they're doing is they're preparing. They're getting ready. And I think that by the spring, there is going to be like a Grapes of Wrath freaking dust bowl moving from somewhere to somewhere and doing something different. And I don't think it's going to be any particular part of the country. It's going to be from the urban to the rural. That's what I see is happening. And I don't know what it's going to do with prices. Because it's so manipulated, it doesn't matter. It's not a free market anyway. But it is definitely going to be a food thing. And people are starting to source their food. And I watched your program today. And you had, you know, which sparked a lot of memories for me. Bountiful Baskets, I think it was. Bountiful Harvest or Bountiful Baskets, Donna. We used to do the baskets at the park. What was that called? Bountiful Baskets. Yeah. What it was is that you would pay like $13 or something, and you would have an appointment to go to some park, and then it was just full of food. And it was worth way more than whatever it was that, and you would order it, and they would have ready your name, and you just go get it. Well, then the city started getting involved, and they're showing up going, oh, no, you can't use the park and do, you're not allowed to, you know, like, you know, hand out food that they pre-ordered or something. And I'm going, see, this is it. Then there was a guy that, for health reasons, he had Crohn's disease, from vaccination or whatever as a kid, and he cured himself by connecting people that needed organic food with farmers, and it was called farmmatch.com. And that reminded me of the one thing, it's called Rico or something you were talking about. Explain that to us.
Rico rings. This is a concept that was developed in Scandinavia several years ago that couldn't be simpler. And they use Facebook. They tend to use Facebook for their infrastructure. I say they. There is no they. This isn't an organization. This isn't a movement. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's just an idea. And some people, the person who started it, had the brilliant idea of starting a Facebook group where farmers or producers can post, here's what I got. I've got so many carrots. I got so many potatoes. I got so many whatever. And people in the comments will say, okay, I'll take three bundles of carrots, and I'll take a couple of, I'll take a couple potatoes. I'll take 2 pounds of this. I'll take a pound of that. And then there's this agreed upon date and time where you meet and the exchange happens and everyone goes home. And so that's it. That's the entirety of the idea. And even the fact that it uses Facebook, I noticed people in my own comments, even though I stressed, this isn't about Facebook. You don't have to use Facebook. It's just what this particular person was doing. But right. People are like, Facebook, it's controlled opposition. Anyway.
Well, whenever
but yeah,
you
that's
use,
it. That's the whole idea.
Whenever
and
you use,
so it's really simple. But the thing that about it that's different than farm shares, different than CSAs, different than some of the other things, is that usually you do have to pre-order or pre-buy. You buy a certain thing, and you know every month you pick up the box or whatever, and you don't know what you're going to get. In this case, it's no. You know exactly what you're ordering. It's just like ordering, like if you went to the produce section and just got it, except now you're getting it directly from the farmer. That's the only.
You know, there was a we did shows. We went up to Oregon. It was because they were trying to force him to use glyphosate on his organic farm, and big things and hilarity ensued. But it's called Azure Standard, and Azure, it means blue or something, but they have all over the country, certainly in the, you know, the West, they have refrigerated trucks that they put all this produce and stuff on, and they ship pallets to, you know, volunteers that they just drop it off at their carport or garage, and then all the people in that geographic area just come and get their stuff, you know, and this has been going on for years, and they have, you know, high-quality products. The food thing has solutions. They're going to have to actively try to prevent the distribution of food. And a lot of times it's going to be, you know, with inflation. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter where it is if you can't afford it. So how do you think this is going to work out? I mean, are you going to have, it's going to be a lot of things. You know, I mean, people camping on a farm to help grow food so they can eat until this is over a decade of something, and then the Chinese invade or whatever. I mean, I have no idea how this is going to. There's so many ways that this could go, but it is going to be centered around food. I guarantee that. It always is. So give me some thoughts on what you think is going to happen.
No, I agree. We're three meals away from a revolution at the best of times. And I think they know that. And given the incredibly precarious state of the global food supply, as it has developed, especially over the past half century, where now people are almost completely reliant on the supermarkets to deliver foods from halfway around the world, that is going to break down at some point. And when it does, guess who's going to swoop in and be the savior? It's the government, of course. They're going to, don't worry, we'll take care of you. And here's the UBI, you know, we'll make sure you get your ration of bread and some bugs to go wash down your, you know, your Chuck slop McCoy. With. Yeah. I saw a meme the other day. Someone was posting on social media. You know, that's like the meme of the sign blank days since blank. Right. Well, this one was 0 days since The Economist posted about eating bugs or something. And it had a link to the latest article from The Economist about how you're going to be eating bugs in the future. Yay.
You know, I'm we're more sensitive to all the brainwashing, propaganda, desensitizing, you know, roadmap of whatever the hell they're going to do. And I'm wondering at what point other people, you know, the normies or whatever, that start to going, damn. I tell you, it happened last night. Yeah, yesterday afternoon. My youngest daughter is one of our family that works at Honeywell Aerospace in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, it used to be my daughter, both my sons, one of my son's wife, my son's wife's parents, the my youngest daughter's husband, all worked at Honeywell, okay? So it was just, you know, you just know when they have a job thing, hey, they're hiring now, they go in, boom, make a good living, going, and all they do is complain.
I'm catching on to the Hancock family.
Right.
I know about you guys.
Oh, no, they heard it from me, trust me. But anyway, so what happened was they all slowly left. Two of my son-in-law and son now work for Nikola, you know, building electric trucks or whatever. And then my other son now is, you know, head SOB in charge of whatever. He's doing some high tech. He makes the robots that makes, you know, the chips for factories, whatever. So he's doing okay. Then you have one of my daughter-in-law used to work there, just went to work for the software company that does some kind of inventory thing at Honeywell, and she goes, so the only person left now is my youngest daughter, okay? Well, she's like, Honeywell just sent out their thing saying, yep, no extensions, no exceptions, no nothing. All right, you can do this religious exemption or medical, maybe, and we'll reevaluate and determine whether you get a freebie or not, but you must be vaccinated by December 8th. So saith the president, so be it the military-industrial complex, so shall it be written, so shall it be done. And this is kind of, they looked at the form, religious exemption, it was like 20-something questions. I'm like, F you. And one of the questions was, have your children been vaccinated? I mean, in this HIPAA violation stuff, I'm going, man, tell them to get it. So I had Dr. Mikovits on earlier today, and she was giving out sites where you can go and get forms to make sure you retain your rights to sue and civil, you know, this and that, and so on, class action suits. Well, then we have, of course, Southwest Airline pilots go, nah, we're not doing it. Then we had the activists where we did our signs support first responders to say no to mandatory shots we do everywhere. We're in Prescott, Arizona. The hospital didn't do that. I just found out from, you know, my friend that works there, he did a religious exemption. They haven't even looked at them. They haven't evaluated. They haven't, you know, said. But they moved it from September 22nd deadline to November 1st, and now they've moved it to February 1st. So I'm going, you know, this is a game of chicken, and it is what you've been saying. It is a non-compliance thing. As soon as we say we're not going to do it, you know, it'll go away.
Yeah.
But, man, Biden and these guys and Kamala and, you know, the camel lady,
they're
not giving up.
I can't stress this enough. I mean, I have these moments where just all of the connections of everything just become crystal clear in my understanding. And it's the stupidest, weirdest, mundanest things that give it away. But I was looking at this article the other day from my home and native province of Alberta, Canada. Yay. Great. This the true north, strong and free, which is neither strong nor free. where they have started their QR code vax passport app that is now the official government app that you can use to scan in, and they're onboarding various businesses. They're giving $2,000 grants to get all these businesses on board and to train their reps and everything and make sure everybody's got the process down pat, because this is the new normal, blah, blah, blah. And it was reading that article about it and the $2,000 grants and all of this, that it became crystal clear in my head. This is a multi-level coordinated business / institutional infrastructure that is being welded into place right now that has nothing whatsoever to do with SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. This is about a new system of control of the human cattle, and it is being implemented in place after place after place all around the globe simultaneously through these funds that are suddenly coming out of the woodwork. Governments providing money raining down from all over. From where? Well, ask Belarusian President Lukashenko, who came out and said, you know, the IMF was offering me this COVID relief aid $1 billion bribe as long as I locked down the population, enforced masks, went along with the vaccinations, all of this, they would give me this $1 billion aid program. And he was saying this, and then the IMF came out and said, whoa, that's crazy. It wasn't a bribe, and we weren't making anyone doing anything. We were just saying, if you want to take our money, you're going to have to comply with WHO guidelines, like we say to everyone. So, you know, the same thing. I mean, that was their official denial of the fact that they are bribing everyone. And this is happening all around the world, country after country. It's happening now. And anyone who is deluding themselves into thinking that this is just going to go away, that this is, don't worry, it's just about COVID. That's all. As soon as they declare the pandemic over, all of this, billions around the world, trillions in the end, I'm sure, will add up to, of institutional infrastructure that's being put in place right now, they'll just abandon it all and, okay, never mind. Yeah, that health passport thing, that was just for COVID, and it's gone now, and you never have to think of it. No, it is going to be here for the rest of your lives. As soon as this gets welded into place, it's bye-bye to all of those freedoms that you once thought you enjoyed. And I cannot stress enough, everyone who's going along with it right now will regret it if this goes into place. They will live long enough. Well, unless they expire from some bioweapon attack.
Well, this is why I was trying to bring up the page here, because just so much of the stories, it's like I see this stuff, and do I send it to be put up by staff and so on, because, you know, and there's James Corbett's goodie. You know, William Shatner, Captain Kirk went to space, and Jeff Bezos, whatever, so that was kind of cool. Now, the thing is, you see organic U.S. soy prices hit record high. Fuel is going up. We have all the WHO database reports are showing that they're lying. We got, you know, death here and crap there, and then you got, you know, critical race theory. The guy that's in charge, all of a sudden, their son-in-law is, you know, makes money on, I mean, it goes on and on and on. At what point do you, I mean, it's coming to a point that you're familiar with Freedom's Phoenix. I don't want to, like, not report on what's going on, but I am really just, I don't care anymore. I go, why are we even looking at this? I mean, there's value in knowing what they're doing, like desperate for tires, component shortage, you know, Royals U.S. Harvest. Well, what they're talking about is the combines and tractors, they can't do maintenance on them. They can't get their crops. You know, was it intentional? Are they just stupid? You know, the government didn't know this was going to happen. You know, can't do, you know, politic. I mean, so it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And am I allowed not to care? But it's so important.
I feel your frustration. In fact, that's the exact frustration that led me at the beginning of the year to stop doing Propaganda Watch and start doing Solutions Watch, because it's just blaringly obvious right now what's going on. So what do we do about it is the only question that matters. And as much as I was feeling that at the start of the year, I'm feeling it even more now. Like, I'm really, really, really losing patience. I find myself looking at well-researched stuff, really in-depth articles that, you know, really drill down on these things. But I just keep saying, okay, so So what? Okay, now I know a little bit better about the grid that's going into place. I don't care. Right. What do we do about it? That is the only question that matters at this point.
You know, that was I started interviewing Richard Grove back in, I don't know, 10, 11, around in there. And he's does a lot of deep dive research, you know, reads the book, does. I mean, you know, he's fantastic at what he does. And then my question to him for a long time, I got really frustrated with him after a while, a year or two. I'm going, okay, now what? Now, yeah, but this guy, he's really, I mean, I got the nit and tittle on the whole lineage of whatever. God, it's like, you know, and you do a lot of the same kind of thing, but, you know, you kind of transition more into, you know, like immediate solutions and what this means and how you can change your life now kind of deal. And it's important to have this information, but I always got to go, yeah, now what? Now what? Now freaking what? Well, then when he started autonomy, that was kind of his now what. He's like, all right, now everybody just needs to freaking, you know it and then go do stuff, you know? So it really has been a good transition for him and a benefit to everybody. And so what do you think the main now what is? Now
well,
what?
I'm certainly not here to denigrate the idea of spreading information about what is happening. We do need to know what's happening in order to come up with the now what. We have to have that from an informed place, because if we don't know what's happening, we can't, well, we can't decide what we're going to do about it. So that is an important aspect of it. So I get valuable information from people who are just reporting the news. A Last American Vagabond, Ryan Christian, doing incredible work day after day after day, just reporting, doing deep dives on the news of the day. And that's really valuable to me as a researcher, so that I can keep up with all of that, so that I can concentrate on the now what. Okay, because of this, we need to do that. Because we can see that coming, we need to do this. So that is important. And I still do deep dives and that kind of work, like my Al-Qaeda documentary, still working on, by the way, part two coming soon. Which essentially is one big deep dive into the Al-Qaeda story and all of the various aspects of that, which you might say, okay, so what? Now what? But for me, the now what with regard to that story is to expose the story so that people see the propaganda for what it was, because it is the exact same thing that they are doing with the new biosecurity paradigm. Is exactly the way they rolled out the Homeland Security paradigm. It was all a big, phony, baloney, ridiculous, concocted story that they concocted right in front of your eyes. And so much of that story is completely admitted and out in the open, that's just off the wall crazy, that when you show a normie that kind of information and you can get past their internal cognitive dissonance sensors by saying, hey, look at this new History Channel documentary, as some people are doing. I've seen it posted up as a National Geographic or History Channel documentary. And so they said, my dad watched
it. People putting James Corbett stuff on YouTube under a history kind of whatever BS of they skated through. Whatever.
Good.
You know,
and I've gotten feedback already. Like, my dad never wanted to listen to any of this stuff, but I showed him that and said it was a History Channel documentary and he really liked it and is waiting for the next part. It's like, okay, great. You know, that's good. That is part of the solution, or at least that's something that I can contribute to. But I mean, the now what is a million things and it's everything all at once. And as I always say, everyone has their niche, their thing, the things that they're interested in and the things that they're good at, the things they want to spend their time on. Don't fight that. Whatever that thing is that you can contribute, contribute it. If you are a computer programmer, well, I got things that you could be doing. If you are a farmer, I got things you could be doing. If you're an artist, I got things that you could be doing. If you're an accountant, hey, there are things that you could be doing.
The tapestry has been more diverse and unique. It has gotten better. People are starting to fill it. That's one thing I wanted to make sure we mention, the freedom cells. You know, where I've been going, I hear more and more and more how that has inspired and changed a lot of people. Of course, I'm seeing them at events, you know, and they hear about these events from freedom cells. But each one of the people I interviewed, a couple from Romania that were here at the MidFest, and they went to New York. It's a long story, but you know, they got America, and then they go, you know, this is the same stuff Ceausescu was doing. I remember when I was in my 20s when the reason I left and kind of, man, well, whoa, America, you need to be paying attention. So they sold everything, closed down, left, and went to Louisiana. You know, we're in Louisiana now, you know. So the Freedom Cells, Derek Brose and Miriam did an event here Saturday, I think it was, Saturday night. And I've been to like four of them. You know, we kind of overlap on, you know.
You're following him. You're stalking him.
Well, he came to Arizona, and I was in Arizona. But, you know, I know all the – well, certainly I knew the guys in Arizona. So, you know, I was invited to, you know, whatever. So we had the Love Bus there, and we're making signs. We do that kind of stuff. And then they were there in Sholo. Then they went to Sedona. And then we had another separate event in Prescott. And then they went to Portland up, and then they came here. And then, of course, I spoke at the Greater Reset in Austin when Derek was in Mexico and John Bush was in Austin. So – I've known these guys for a while. This last presentation that Derek did, it's pretty much kind of the same theme and everything, but he was talking to his own crowd, you know, the choir, the insiders, the ones that were activists, you know, the voluntarists, the anarchists. You're not trying to convince them of anything. It's not the, you know, the yoga pant wearing whatever the hell in Sedona. It's not the, you know, patriot Christian whatever of Sholo. It's not the, you know, whatever the hell in Portland. So it's, I don't know, I think his event might have got canceled in Portland. I don't remember. But the presentation that he and Miriam did here was awesome. It was inspiring. It was intimate. It was relevant. It was entertaining. It was paid attention to. And I could see in the conversations that happened afterwards, and I talked to a lot of people, and of course they wanted to, you know, hear about Love Bus and stuff, but, you know, the main thing was, it was the Freedom Cells. When they went on looking for people, and then I started to see, you know, kind of, you know, self-leaders. It just naturally happens. They go, yeah, we'll just do this, and they actually do something, or they go someplace, or they, and then people kind of follow that, and then they start their own. And I asked a lot of them, I said, is it keeping it down to this 8, 10, you know, people kind of thing? And then you got bigger cells, and they go, yeah, we kind of more break up, not so much geography as geography and issues. You know, like a certain thing, you're a gardener, or you want to, you know, go learn to shoot, or you want to whatever the hell, you know, build stuff. And, but generally, it's getting 20, 30 people. And it's hard for them, and they'll have still the big group, but then they have smaller groups that went from that, which, you know, what Derek and John's idea was, is you have eight, it gets big, you make another eight, you know, and more geographical, and or by people you like. But I'm seeing the natural, because they left it alone, you know, just let it go. What's happening is people are separating by issue, by activity, by interest. And I've seen it. As soon as I get to where I'm staying somewhere, or if I want to communicate when I'm on the road, do whatever we can, you know, hook them with that. But I'm seeing the community thing coming together, and it's kind of online. And this is what quit. you're doing a thing. Claire Wolf made the point. She goes, you don't need to have a physical. She was very critical of the Free State Project because she goes, you got the internet. What the hell you want to go be a target for? Well, I think there's some value in having a bunch in one place. That's, you know, it's better not, you know. But I'm seeing such a tapestry of people, not how they do it. It's that they know they need to do something else. Is that they're starting to make the effort to coordinate and to, you know, find other people and to start working. And I'm getting all kinds of emails and calls from friends and family and listeners and, you know, people on Telegram on our channel and so on. They're all about this. I can't imagine that they keep screwing with us through the winter, that by spring there's not going to be a revolution. There's going to be an evolution. There's going to be, I just don't freaking care about you guys anymore. I don't have time to worry about your BS. We're going to go take care of it. That's my prediction. You know,
yeah.
What do you think?
There are a million things that could happen between then and then, right? And unfortunately, they wargame this sort of stuff out all the time, and they have the vast resources to do so. So I think if they make the calculation that, hey, that watch out, there's an evolution about to happen, I think they might pull out one of their ace cards, and there are many, many,
aliens!
Many on the table.
Aliens, space aliens, gotta be space
aliens. Aliens is the ultimate, that's the Trump card. But ace cards, you know, you're looking bioweapons, you're looking hot war, you're looking food crash, you're looking cyber pandemic. The trump card is the aliens.
Yeah, no, no, no. You know you won when they bring out the aliens.
Yeah, exactly. But, at the very least, I could see this as the beginning of the breakaway civilization. Not the breakaway civilization that Catherine Austin Fitz and others talk about, like the elites doing whatever they do with their trillions that they're creating and shoving out the back door to build whatever they're building in space and all that stuff. But our breakaway civilization, where we start to separate. And yeah, there is a separation that's happening right now. And everyone is experiencing that with their own families starting to, you know, break apart. Friends that you've had for decades suddenly become your enemies, and other people you never would have associated with, you're associating with because of what you know to be true and what you have to, what you know you have to do about it. To get back to that idea of the eight and the geographical nature of those groups, I think my understanding, I'm not speaking for Derek or John, but my understanding of that idea was precisely so that you get a mixture of people who wouldn't necessarily want to group together or come together naturally, but okay, well, we're together, so let's go together. So that you get people who have different strengths, different interests, different things that they can teach everyone else. That was, I think, part of the idea, is that you're going to have the guy who's the gun guy and knows all about guns and can teach the other people about guns. You're going to get the person who is the nurse and knows all about how to take care and treat wounds and that sort of thing, and they can teach about that. And you're going to ask the person who is the gardener and knows how to grow things. So once you get that mixture of people, you can get... But if everyone just groups together, hey, we all like guns and we all like shooting, so we're all going to get together and go shooting, then it turns into more of a social club than an actual educational opportunity.
You know, what we really... I witnessed as we... the Ron Paul Evolution really brought a lot of this out. And it was meetups. You know, when people actually went to... You know, meat space. I mean, you know, actually M-E-A-T. And it was a lot of different skills. And the one that I see resurrecting, that I always thought was important, that's coming back, is the communication with ham radios. You know, that has become a thing. And I can see that that's, you know, starting to be more of a thing now, that there's always, in each one of these freedom groups, there's always somebody that knows and is sharing that. And in Prescott, when I was up there, usually these guys are all pissed. Oh, no, you got to get a license, and then you got to do it right, and you got to say the right thing, kind of permission slip of whatever. And I go, when I'm doing that, it ain't going to matter anymore. You know, so I don't want to hear your crap. Well, they're having that attitude now. You know, a lot of the people that normally would be the ones that, oh, you got to do it right. So, well, their biggest thing is, no, just get a freaking radio, and we'll show you how to use it. All that status crap is starting to drop by, and the people that go, it's just like airline pilots. No, we can't have drones flying, man. There'll be sheet metal and bodies falling out of the sky all over the houses and whatever, you know. So they always, drones suck, man. We can't, you know, because, you know, I took my license and I did and I know and that kind of thing. Well, it's the same thing when any kind of license, certainly a federal, and the ham radio thing. It changed overnight. Within a year, and I've been dealing with this for decades, within a year, all of a sudden they go, look, man, just get a radio. You're gonna, this license crap ain't going to matter. You know, because they were thinking disaster preparedness for hurricane something. They weren't thinking about disaster of government, you know. And all of a sudden now they're going, get a freaking radio. That really surprised me. I didn't anticipate that because I've been fighting this for so long, you know, making fun of them, that attitude. And they're like, nope, we're not like that anymore. Get a radio. What's a kind of a communication thing that you got in Japan? You just turn on broadcast news, wait on the internet? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, given who I am and the space I'm in, I spend all my time online. I guess there's broadcast TV and stuff here. I don't know. I don't watch it. I get all my news and information online. But yeah, ham radio might be a good, at the very least, a backup, right?
Yeah.
I really should look into that. But I have stressed in the past about physical media. And of course, it was during the scamdemic that for a year and a half, I was either not able at all to send anything out to people, like DVDs, or it was the 18 hoops that you jump through and maybe it'll get delivered in 6 months if you know, pay extra and say, pretty please. So that was just a colossal headache. Thankfully, James Pilato is taking care of that now. So we now have the New World Next Week store where people can buy DVDs. There's now about to be three DVDs for sale. And I am going to start selling a thumb drive of archive videos just to get it out there.
Yeah.
Physical, something you can physically hold and keep with you and hopefully have locally.
You know, we tried
and
to...
I'm going
to
be.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be publishing a book sooner.
Oh,
than later.
Shut up. I've been hearing about that forever. You know,
I started announcing it in 2009. By 2029, it will be on your desk.
All right, as long as you give me a date. I mean, you know, it would be cool, though. I'd actually read that, you know. I want to read me some, you know, James Corbett book. You know, the, God, there was something I was trying to insert there.
Sorry.
We tried to mail you something one time, and it was like a freaking nightmare. They go, no, you're not allowed. You can't, whatever. Then there was a time in Mexico, we made some friends in Anarcapoco, you know, some of the, you know, this one older lady, it was a masseuse on the beach that after years, you know, she was there for Don and I, and we kind of made friends, and she's a grandma, and we got a lot of baby clothes and stuff that we freaking didn't know what to do. Really nice quality stuff. So, yeah, we'll send it to you. Give me your address and everything. Nope, can't do it. Added value, taxes of sending used clothes to, you know, people that need it in Mexico. Not, I'm like, I have been pissed off and, you know, by such things as that. But a lot of times I'm usually surprised because we've been so spoiled over the last few years that the world has gotten smaller. Fees have been, you know, really cheap. Yep. You've been able to travel all over the world. There was, you know, grease skids for everything. You just went and it was no big deal. All of a sudden, boom, in a year or two, the world got really big again. And you're not, and I'm thinking, because I thought at the time, I'm going, those are screwed when all of us are able to travel and communicate as freely as we are.
Exactly.
They're never going to fix this unless they do. Well, they did. They figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
I told them. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's funny you bring that up because I was just thinking about that earlier today. Is the point that you, I think people who have never traveled abroad never have that experience, that sense of how much we are human cattle that are controlled in our pens. And don't worry, your master will let you go from this pen to that pen as long as you have the right piece of paper that, you know, and you get everything stamped and they'll let you in for a little bit of time. But don't, you know, if you stay too long, we'll come after you, all of that stuff. It's this ever-present threat that's there in the international travel space that if you've never left the country, you'll never quite understand in that visceral way. And yeah, as you say, as free as it was a couple of years ago, all of that stuff was there, but it was mostly formality, right?
You know what?
But now it is there. Like these are the gates on your prison. You are stuck in your country, prisoner.
You know, we had it was interesting when we went down. You know, I was traveling with Tim Pachote 1 year, and man, they targeted him. Every single, we got people just coming up with clipboard. I'm going, what the hell did you do? It was because he refused to comply with their mandates to financial planners for including crypto or something. I think that had a lot to do. I think when he just like, nope, paid a $17,000 fee penalty to get out of, and he just sucked it up for a year and finally it all came. Now he's doing great. But the thing is that in the beginning, when he made the decision to do this, to make it, they were going in this industry, you are not allowed to talk about it. You are not allowed to recommend it because we're going to do it. And we don't want you to get a head start in competition. So it's just, well, one thing that I wanted to mention, you brought that up, came to mind that really kind of surprised me is that, you know, when people do this, giving up their U.S. passport and they go, I don't want to be, no, I don't need the benefit. I'm going somewhere. You're going to tax me all the time, everywhere, anyway, and I'm good. And they go, well, no, you can't like be like free ranging cattle. You got to, you know, turn this in and immediately you're lined up with some other country. And I go, whoa, who the hell made that up? That surprised me, James. I was not expecting that, you know.
Unfortunately, I am. Like, of course that's going to be the way. Of course it is. They you have to be owned by someone. You're someone's cattle.
Well, man, they made that clear. That is just, well, then I've had people on that they do this since World War II. You know, it's a world passport. And it's kind of something that United Nations kind of gives, credence to. You can't have people, there are some countries that just evaporated, and then what do you do? And, that kind of thing. And then you can see it build up. And that's why I bring up as a word exercise, word picture, is that I'm looking for the Olympics when you have the anarchist playing AC/DC or something, and he won and he's on the podium of I Win. And he has no flag. He has a black flag. I mean, when's that going to happen? So when anybody doesn't do that, or they don't have a country, they're first in line to give them one. You have to represent a country. And then now you have to represent a transgender country supported of, rainbow flag and stuff. And all of these institutions are being abandoned by the public, certainly in ratings. They're just, and I'm done. So all the games, all the sports institutions, all these things are just going away, but they can't have that unless they got a replacement in mind. What do you think the replacement is?
Mm. That's a very, very good question, because the bread and circuses both seem like they're coming to an end. What do you replace that with? Bugs and...
Space aliens.
Huh?
Space aliens.
Yeah. Bugs and Netflix, I was going to say. But
Space aliens on Netflix.
It's a good question. That's actually a really good question, because absolutely. Well, you know what? I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I've been seeing in the news the past couple of months, suspiciously, is all about the VR push right now. And I forget what they're calling it. The Facebook... Oculus, or something? Yeah, it's something like that, but they have a name for it. But anyway, they're pushing that now, and I'm betting there's something on the horizon. Don't worry, it'll be better than life.
All right, you just reminded me of something we haven't talked about. I haven't spent, I'm doing everything I can to avoid it, but man, is it everywhere on the internet, this Squid Game or something on Netflix that they're really pushing.
I don't even have Netflix, and I've heard about it from 18,000 different places.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, it's the most popular, it's the greatest, you're missing out, FOMO, fear of missing out, you're not seeing it, you don't know, it's the greatest, most great, I got 110 million people watching, oh my God, and I'm like, I don't care, because it's something about they're killing people to harvest their organs or something, and that's all I know, and they'll show some Asian babe of, whatever, that she's, I don't care, and if they're pushing it this much, they're really wanting to desensitize something. And I feel when I go to the movies and I go into some R-rated movie and you got to watch. I mean, I could see some James Bond thing or something, R-rated, Deadpool. And I got to go through all these horror films and I just got to go la, 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 because they are infecting. I don't have to see the movie. I'm freaking stressed out from the trailer. They're doing something. This squid thing, they're doing that. There's something they're trying to
absolutely, and that's it's not like a conscious decision that I make, but I guess partly that's just the way I am. When something gets really popular like that, I tend to avoid it because I don't care. But that's not a conscious decision, but maybe it should be for people out there who are tempted by things like that. No. When there is that kind of a push, there's an agenda at play. And yeah, you could go into it thinking, okay, I'll dissect it and I'll find out all about the propaganda and I'll know how it's working and what, but you're playing into it to some extent when you do that. I think the best thing to do is to avoid it.
Yeah, I'm coming that's one thing that's changed as I got older. I'm 60 and my mind is different just because I can tell you what it is. It's just testosterone levels. You're younger and you're at, I don't know, 1200, whatever the hell it is, you cut that in half and you kind of become more sane, human or retrospective or intellectual or you take your time or you go, I've seen this, you incorporate, you're not so driven by hormones. And and also some experience and knowledge, those go together. You know, that kind of, you know, you get a little wiser on this stuff. And I recognize it. It's so freaking obvious. I'm going, maybe it's that easy. That's why the vaccine, that's why the GMO food, that's why the stuff in the water, the air, the everything, is that if they could just dial a little bit of this or there, a little bit over that way, you know, then they can get your mind right into, you know, accepting or doing or something.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to avoid that. And, you know, this, I'd like to get a comment from you on this. When in the beginning of the show, when I showed, you know, just some of the headlines on Freedom's Phoenix, which is interesting as hell. People really like Freedom's Phoenix. I mean, it's just, you know, wow, that's, I feel informed. I am the smartest readers on the, you know, freaking planet, and put me on, you know, Jeopardy. I mean, you know, I'll kick ass. Well, that's kind of what it was. It's to have a wide radar screen, but that wide radar screen also penetrates, let stuff in. And I'm kind of, I don't know how much I'd change. A good example is like Saturday, I go, yep, it's time for pole dancing again. I don't know if you saw that, you know, but the news is so bad. There's this one pole dancer that is just, it's a talented thing. I think you may have saw it before I showed you.
Yeah, I think you showed it, yeah.
And it's just amazing stuff. I go, yep, time for pole dancing. And I just put it up. I go, get over it. You know, I'm just so sick of the news. This one talented, I mean, it was really, you know, a talent. And I go, this is, and that's what I'm starting to feel now.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I'm going to start spending more time on solutions, like, you know, the stuff that we put on Pirates Without Borders, you know, the different categories and stuff. We do that anyway. But the reason I don't do more is there isn't more to put up.
Because people aren't concentrating on it, because humans are hardwired to look for threats rather than to applaud things that are going on that are solutions oriented.
Right.
But you're exactly right about that feeling that you get going through that newsfeed every single day. And yeah, it's important stuff, but there's points at which I just don't want to look at that anymore. And that's because, here's the big reveal. The news is a social construct. It is designed to control you and control your mind and control your actions and control the limits of your reality. What is the news? It's this horrible thing that's just happened. It's this major event that just happened in Bulgaria or whatever that you have to concentrate your attention on. It is not that wonderful thing that person just did to feed the homeless over there. It's not Bountiful Baskets. It's nothing like that. That's not news. No. The news is the bad stuff that's going on in the world. That isn't written in the stars.
Whenever
that wasn't handed down to us from God himself or something. That's just something that we have constructed or have had constructed that we've internalized to the extent that we can't even imagine that news is not just that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So people should sign up for my course on the history of mass media, where I'm going to be talking about this exact type of thing and talking about how hopefully going forward we can change that. We can consciously recognize the way news has been.
When is it? Is it going to be a live thing?
It is going to be live.
When does it start?
It's going to be Monday nights, every the first three Monday nights in November, US time. But it will be archived. So you can join anytime. You don't have to watch live. You can watch it later. So
is there going to be live participation at all, or is just you're going to lecture?
It's going to be lectures, but I hope it will be followed by some Q&A.
So Q&A.
I think there will be space for that.
Yeah, that's it. That I'm looking forward to that. I remember we talked about that last week. I'm seeing a shift in a lot of people. I'm seeing a lot of not shifting too. You know, there's some people that are, you know, just going to keep doing what they're doing, the fear porn of Alex Jones or whatever. And and that's why a lot of people make their bread and butter, and they won't say certain things to keep their channel on YouTube and blah, 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 blah. And I am so not, I'm looking for something else. And that's why we do, you know, Pirates and the show and our activism and Love Bus and, you know, did you do your due diligence.com, which is a lot of reports and stuff for healthcare workers and everything. I mean, we want to look for the solutions. Freedom's Phoenix is kind of our standard bearer. I mean, that's the main hub for all that we do, and it gets a lot of traffic for, you know, kind of the way it is. But as the media and television and broadcasts and they, them, those control us and brainwash us to get us to go into what, well, hell, I can do the same thing. I don't want to help them. you know? So whenever we see a good story, you know, like some policeman helped get the cat out of the tree, you know, or some little kid didn't hugged on his friend he hadn't seen pandemic, a four-year-old of whatever, you know, and maybe, you know, a whale didn't something and helped a diver of whatever the hell. I mean, I look for that stuff. We put it up. And the thing is that it's so rare, you know, or certainly in comparison, that it's there. You have to look for it. You have to have, and I have certain readers that will send me good stuff, you know, like that. And some of them just send me, oh, my God, scared the crap out of you. You know, how? What's the balance? So the best thing that I would do is go and do tech. You know, what's the new propulsion? What's the new energy thing? What's the new, how are we going to free ourselves? How are we going to, and that's why we're spending a lot of time on the construction of homes now. That's the big thing that we're working on. And Dono's looking at, you know, land in Arizona. We get back, we can buy, so then people are doing, it's going to be a thing, and there's going to be a lot of positive solutions that, you know, I'm sure James and I both, we're going to be focusing on the solutions. But when you're doing your ISIS thing or Al-Qaeda or whatever, and you're going, you know, this is, you got to know that. I mean, where's your mind on that? You know, is it negative ways? It needs to be done so you can get to the solutions, so you can see the problem. You know, why would you delve deep into that? I mean, of course, it's necessary and somebody needs to do it. But, you know, I mean, what are you thinking as you're doing that?
Well, as I said, I think we have to understand the way that the propaganda functioned in that so that we can see through the propaganda as it's coming out. It's like a muscle that we're training that once we understand the tricks that they employ, and they employ the same tricks every time, and it's not hard to see once you see it. You have to see it. And so I am continuing to do the work that I've been doing for years that I know has made a difference. I get feedback every single day from people who said, I just saw your big oil documentary, I just saw Bill Gates, that was incredible, I didn't know any of that. Yeah. So it does make a difference. And the point of that isn't just to know that and then, you know, that's done, never think about it again. The point is to train people, to show people the tricks that are used, and then how to spot them as they're happening in real time, so you don't fall for this crap. If we had had, I mean, let me be not so modest about it, if we had had 7 billion, 8 billion people on the planet who grew up watching Big Oil and Gates documentary and all of that and knew all of that in their history classes in school, do you think they'd fall for COVID-19?
Oh!
I don't think they would.
Oh, there was Stossel in the classroom. When my kids were in school,
right.
They had Stossel in the classroom. Yep. I would freaking pimp a movement of Corbett in the classroom. That'd be awesome. That will
end. I don't think they'd allow it, but hey.
Totally. Totally. Corbett in the classroom. All right.
Make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Don't commit me to anything, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to do it. So, you know, Corbett in the class. But we end on that. That's good. Corbett in the class. All right, everybody think about that, how we might do that. You know, there's a, because, yeah, we can go on and
it's
on.
It's a History Channel documentary. It'll be good for your junior high school class.
Oh, how that would be awesome. Corbett in the classroom. I got to think about that. I'm going to think on that. I may have something for you. And we got your article. We're putting the, Donna's doing Texas, you know, so after about this weekend, we start putting the newspaper together. Yeah, well, you know,
all right,
we got,
cool.
So this is going to be, you know, part of the, see, that's one thing, even doing the paper, it's like how much do you direct them to? You have to have enough solutions in there.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. I mean, what's the point?
Yep.
You know, agreed. I mean, it's great to have.
Well, I hope you noticed I tried to make that the point of my article. Here's the bad things that are happening. Here's what you can do about it.
No, I haven't even read it yet. No, I've not.
Oh, okay.
No. I didn't even want to. I got to get through a bunch of stuff. I had to, today, you know, after today, it kind of opens up a little bit because we built up a bunch of shows so I can take now through the weekend to help Mike on his thing, and I got some bus work to do. We're at a nice campground here where they had Midfest, and we stayed like a week and a half last spring, and we were like looking forward to staying here. So he's doing it in the spring and fall, so it's about the same kind of temperatures, so it's comfortable. Right. It's rained a lot. Yeah. I got a tornado going over us, but I mean, you know, it was so it's nice. Yeah, this stainless steel freaking MCI bus. I sneeze at your tornado, you know. Well, I don't know. I don't want to attempt it that much, but Yeah, Corbett in the classroom. Man, I feel like I need another freaking project. But that definitely has moved up. You know, it's kicked a lot of them on the bottom off. I can guarantee that. You know, yeah. But thanks for coming on. I feel better. Right. I'm glad we get to talk about this stuff. There are bright lights everywhere. But it's only in comparison to how dark it's going to be in a lot of places.
Yep.
You know, and I
agreed.
I'm glad you're there, man. You keep doing what you're doing. I keep doing, you know, we'll win because I'm not doing this
for a loss. Take care. Keep doing what you'll do, and we'll talk to you again.
All right. Peace, brother. Bye.